Father, we thank you one more time for the honor of being called sons of God. Thank you for your spirit that guides us, that directs us, that instructs us. Thank you for your word, the light that comes from your word. Thank you for our minds are renewed, our lives are transformed. As we listen and as we receive, there's clarity, there's understanding, and there's profiting. We give you the praise for it. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Mark chapter 4. We're looking at God in your heart. Well, we give it that title so that we can have a title. There are many things we are saying under it, if you pay attention. But one of the most important things I want you to pay attention to right now is because Jesus said something in verse 13. He said unto them, Mark chapter 4, verse 13, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? So this is fundamental. In other words, when it comes to how the kingdom of God, and when you hear the kingdom of God, you're talking about the unseen things, the invisible things, those things which are not visible but nevertheless real. How do they operate? So Jesus is saying, if you don't understand this parable, how will you be able to grasp the implication of all other parables? That means this is important. Now, what Jesus taught here as a kingdom principle is how you set laws in your life with respect to failure or prosperity. The principles that Jesus is teaching. And the key to setting the law is in the hands of the one receiving the word. It's important. In other words, God wants you to prosper. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and of evil, to give you a hope and a future or an expected end. But then, that is God's thought. That's God's will. And if you listen to the exhortation this morning, you see how his ways and his thoughts are communicated via what? His words. So God has done his part, or he does his part by giving us his word. And so because the word is incorruptible seed, all the enemy can do is hinder you from paying attention, number one, or hinder you from valuing the importance of the word. It sounds so simple, sounds so plain. Fishermen understood it, but their lives were changed. Because he has no respect for education. He only has respect for a receiving heart. So Jesus taught them. And no, Jesus was not schooled in the way we call modern schools today. But Jesus is the word in the flesh. John chapter 1 verse 14. And the word became flesh. Which word? John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was what? God. So when you hear that particular word. Called word. Interesting. I'm looking for another way to describe it. It's called logos. That's the ideology, the concept. Okay, you can even call it the DNA. So that which embodies the character of that being, that word, he put on flesh. So when God wants to pass across to you his prosperity, his life, his health, his oldness, it is his health, it is his oldness, it is his life. It would not do you any good until it gets to the soil of your heart. So he gives you instruction. This word has no respect for persons. This word does not have favorites. The same way God doesn't have favorites. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. That's the way God operates. So the responsibility, therefore, is on you and on me to now take that word, value it, and do with it what is meant. We are meant to do a responsibility. So Jesus is saying, if you don't know this parable, you will have experiences that men will recite to you that you will tend to believe without understanding that the sower will sow the word. The word is incorruptible. The sower is impartial, but the heart receiving the word has variations. So it's up to you to decide. In fact, when it came to the good soil, it says when it comes to the good soil, there was 30 and 60 and 100 fold. So even with the good soil, the degree of production varied. Hallelujah. You know, this takes responsibility of God and of other people when it comes to the direction your life is going. It puts you squarely in the driver's seat. It's called the incorruptible. That's what unfailing seed of God's word. It lives and it abides forever. So it will always produce if you put it to work. Look at what Jesus said. Verse 11. Unto you it's given, or let me read from verse, or let's go to Matthew. Matthew's version will give us a bit more clarity, because Jesus said some very interesting things. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, when you read how it was taught in different Gospels, it will give you a holistic view of what he was trying to say. I'm going to read from verse 3. And he spake many things unto them parable, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, or there was no depth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell on good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear? Let him what? Hear. That's part of the parable. Everyone Jesus was talking to has ear. So when he says, the one that has an ear to hear, let him hear, simply means the one who is ready to pay attention to what is spoken, let him give attention to it. In other words, not everyone who hears gives attention to what is heard. That's what he's teaching. Look at the next thing he says. Disciples came and asked them, why speakest unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be what? Given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that which he what? Has. Again, a parable. If I say, to him that has, more shall be given. To him that has not, from him shall be taken that which he has. He just said he has not. So how will you take from him what he has? You said, the wind that has not. So to him that has more shall be given means the one who processes what he was given will simply receive more. The one who does not process what is given, the little he was given will be lost because he didn't process. I hope you understand the parable. That's what Jesus is teaching. So the word you were given, if you do nothing with it in a period of time, Jesus says Satan cometh immediately. The word immediately doesn't mean instantly. Immediately simply means that the minute you do nothing with that word, when you leave church and you go home, Satan is waiting, and Satan is not that being asked to us. Satan there simply means opposition. It means words will come that will counter what you have heard until it's no longer producing. That explains why, let's give an illustration. You come to church, Holy Ghost meeting, you see prophecy, you were excited, your faith went through the roof. Monday morning, the first query at the office, you've forgotten is the week of prosperity. What you heard was that, did you hear that they have written a query for you? Or salary will not be paid this month. It won't be paid this month. The next thing that happens is that all the excitement, if it's at feeling level, just dissipates. Then the next thing is, God, where is your face? No, it remains the same. What is happening? Satan comments immediately. Because while you rejoiced in church, which is good, you needed to anchor that word in your heart until all you can see is the reality of the word. Hallelujah. It means nothing circumstantial can affect that word once it has entered your heart, because you now understand it. Let me say this. Prophecy does not mean opposition will not come. Prophecy sometimes means opposition is on its way. Let me say it again. Prophecy does not mean opposition will not come. It means sometimes our opposition is what? On its way. And look at what Jesus said again. See what it says. Verse 13. Therefore speak unto them parables, because they see him. So it was given to them to see, but though they are looking and paying attention, so they are looking at what is said, but they are not seeing what I'm saying. Look at the next thing it says. It says, they seeing, they see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they what? Understand. So there are people who listen, but they don't pay attention. So what happens is that we heard the same thing, we did not understand the same thing. We were given the opportunity to hear the same principles, the same prophecy, but we didn't understand the same thing, or our reception of the word, that's where there's a variation. And look at what it says next. It says, verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear, I shall not what? Understand. And seeing you shall see, and you shall not want to perceive. For this people's heart is what? Wax gross. And their ears are dull of hearing. Look at the next part. And their eyes have they closed, or they refuse to give what? Attention. Now, let me say it again. Paying lip service to the word that is taught will lead to this particular situation. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. Now, let me remind us. Jesus is teaching about salvation. The gospel is preached. The sower sowed the word. Who is the sower? Well, that's the Father. Who is the seed? Jesus himself is the incorruptible seed. Say amen. I'm going back to basics now. Now, that's what he's saying. But that is the message. But there are many lessons to learn because that is the principle of the kingdom. So now that you are saved, the word has produced fruit. The same word you fed on that produced fruit, that you got saved, is the same word you keep feeding on to produce growth and to produce results in different areas of life. The same word. Hallelujah. Now, so he's teaching that principle. And look at what he's saying. Look at verse 16. For this people's heart is worse God, and their heads are dull of hearing, and their heads have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should what? Heal them. So inside the word they heard is their healing, is their health, is their wholeness, is their prosperity. The minute understanding comes, the healing, the health, the wholeness, the prosperity will make manifest. So God is not doing anything extra. God has done all he needs to do, because what he needs to do is inside the word he gave. The word is sold. The minute understanding comes, the healing is received. It's like this. A man receives the message of salvation. He believes. Once he believes, he is what? Saved. The day he got saved is not the day salvation was offered. That is the day he understood the message. Do you understand so far? So the sower is sowing the word. The word is life. The word is life. But that it is life doesn't mean it's automatically made manifest. The life made manifest when it is sown in the heart and understood by the hearer. And understanding is a function of process. You pay attention. If I look at what it says again, look at that, Matthew, look at what it says again. Let's continue. Look at what it says. Verse 16. But blessed are your eyes for they see, and your ears for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and what? Righteous men are desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not what? Heard them. What is Jesus teaching? Remember, John chapter 1 verse 14, and the word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Jesus said, many of the prophets who spoke about the fact that God will become flesh, they never experienced it. Now, the word has become flesh. God is among you. God is teaching. And God is sowing the word. The prophets long to see God speak and teach like you're hearing. And they never experienced it. He says, blessed are your ears for they hear, and your eyes for they see. Because many righteous men wanted to experience this. That means even when God appears and is teaching, once the heart does not pay attention, nothing happens. Let me say it another way. You know, you look at things this way. If only God can appear, I will believe. No, you may not believe. Let me say this. You may still not believe. Because Jesus is God in the flesh. This is God in the purest form. Moses longed to see it. Abraham wanted to see it. They did not see it, but they believed. Hallelujah. And Jesus is teaching. The word is teaching the word. So the living word. He's teaching the written word and explaining the written word. And yet, some people's eyes have closed. And their heart is worse crossed. So it's a choice on the part of man. So let me put it this way. When the word is taught and you listen, that listening, there's a knock on the door of your heart. Then if you listen again, there's another knock. Why are you knocking? So that the door of understanding can be what? Open. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 20 now says, my son, attend to my words. How? Incline your ear to my sayings. Let me put it this way. If I can cause myself to hear God's word consistently for a period of time, what I am doing, I'm not wasting time. I'm knocking on the door of my heart so that understanding can come forth. So I can do it mechanically. That means I can school myself in such a situation that I know once the word enters, it is life unto those that one find it, and what? Hell to all their flesh. Let me share a testimony with you. I think he was he's gone on to be the glory now. Dr. Casey Price. A growth was discovered on his body. This is somebody that ministers healing. These things is no respect of persons. So you can trust God for instant manifestation, whether it's instant or not. Manifestation, as long as there's manifestation. Say amen. And some things will take a process. Because the first thing that happens is that when a doctor tells you there's a growth, and they tell you that it's likely to be cancerous, image is that for me. The word that you just heard, which is negative, image is ready for me. If you're not careful, though you are not consciously processing, your heart is unconsciously processing, I may not live long. That's how it comes. Except there's already a seed on the inside that counters that thought. The thought will come, that's how the enemy comes. Now everybody who has had this situation, an average of 5 years at the most, is already happening on the inside. So when it says you incline your ear, you don't need to incline your ear to the voice of the devil. It's all over the place. But when it comes to the voice of God, you need to consciously what? Because you don't find that all over the place. How many of you are with me this morning? So when it says incline your ear to my sayings, you don't need to incline your ear when it comes to the works of darkness, because it is in our environment. The Bible calls him the prince of the power of the ear. The spirit that now walketh in the children of what? Disobedience. So the children of disobedience, they will speak about him in your hearing. They will tell you, do you know? Nobody should be going to Ilorin at this time, oh. Because they just kidnap people on the road. Now you thought it was harmless. Until somebody comes, then you say that way, we have a conference in Ilorin next week. Eh? Don't go there. You know why you're saying that? That thought was planted. You didn't know you listened until somebody mentioned Ilorin again. Then there was a recognition system on the inside. You recognize that kidnapping is going on. You didn't recognize that they will give his angels charge over you. Because that one hasn't come yet. I mean, you know what I'm saying. So, there's a recognition system on your inside when information is given to you, whether good or contrary information. But the contrary one seems to be abundant because you don't need to labor to hear it. The children of disobedience are busy distributing it. Glory to God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. So you understand what I'm talking about? Oh, glory to God. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 1. Are you there? And you as he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to what? The syllabus of this world. There's a syllabus. There's a syllabus in the world. And that syllabus is geographically, there's a geographic variation in the syllabus. You know, I was in Africa, for instance, that there's a syllabus that's being followed. It's made of traditions and superstitious beliefs. You wake up as a baby to start hearing them from a young age. Hallelujah. Okay, let me ask you a question. How many of you believe bats are evil? You know, your laughter answered my question. I didn't have to. Your laughter answered my question. The way you laughed tells me that. You think bats are evil. What are bats? They are just animals. They are mammals. That's what they are. Somebody says, that's biology. Why do you believe they are evil? An information came. It has been discovered that if you leave a child, a crawling child, near a snake, it will play with the snake. Because it doesn't know that snake is dangerous. Until you come to tell the child, or you do something about the snake, and funny enough, some children have been left around snakes, and the snake didn't harm them. Because snakes do not even sense any danger. But adults, even the snake is going by itself. The way they will shout, the snake will know, I need to escape. It's a snake. It's not Satan. That's the syllabus that's playing out. So you have that to contend with. It's a syllabus. If a bat enters your house, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Village people. It is a bat. Now, why doesn't the Western mind think that way? Because they study everything. You see them in the forest and in jungles, they find out information. In fact, the more terrible the appearance is, the more we demonize it. As Africa. Thank God we're no longer the dark continent, we're the light continent now. Hallelujah. If you understand what I mean. The gospel is spreading and gaining ground. So mightily grows the word and prevails. Hallelujah. Now, that is syllabus already at work. Without you, you didn't plant it. It was planted subconsciously. Now, when you see snakes run, you know, in university days, when we finished exam, I just like information. So I used to go to the library. I went to the encyclopedias, particularly the one that has to do with the animal kingdom. And I just started studying, just started reading. And that was the first time I was going to discover that 60% of snakes are not poisonous. I was shocked. Because the way I was growing up, somebody said, who wants to find out? But do you know the normal fear is that once you just see a snake, But 60% of snakes are actually not poisonous. And it has been known, even when it comes to lion, that the first thing they normally do, except to step into their territory, if they hear the sound of a man coming, they go in the opposite direction. But the African man already has a programming. You see a snake in the house, my enemies have gotten a hold of me. They sent you. Bat is even better. Anything bird that's flying. How many Africans do you see keeping a pet that's a bird? There's a syllabus. That's the problem. Now, it is not the bird that's mother. It's the syllabus. It's how you view the bird. That's the problem. And it's a syllabus. You didn't plant it. It was planted. Hollywood has done plenty. Without you even knowing. You know, I had an actor come out recently and said, I am not a ritualist. They've typecast the man already. When they see him going, he said, I'm a Christian. He said, no. Because I don't know how many movies he has done in his life. That is just about that. So, in the mind of people, that when they just see him, we've left the acting. Meanwhile, in the West, if a man does that well in a role, he's given awards. Because he's gone so deep into, and that's why it's dangerous. It's actually dangerous. Because people's perception about you can be permanently warped. I mean, people have been killed because people thought they were the characters they were playing. I hope you know that happens. Now, that is how easy it is to program people's minds. You can program it negatively. You can program it out positively. It's possible. To give away a perception of an individual, it's very easy. It's not difficult. But look at what it says here. It says, in time past, you walk according to the colors of the world, according to the peace of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. That's manner of life in the time past. So, in the time past, some things were planted. Now that you are born again of incorruptible sin, when you receive that word also, it says, my son, attend to my words, how you incline your ear. So, I want to process God's word. I know once the door of understanding is open, life will spring forth from the word planted where in my heart. The word of God is life. But the life cannot be experienced until it's planted where in my heart. How do I plant? I must incline my ear. I must not let it depart from my eyes. Now, that works two ways. You can paste things on the wall of your house that you are seeing daily with respect to confessions. That's one way. But what's really ticking is this. If I incline my ear, the time will come what I'm hearing will become images in the screen of my heart. Hallelujah. It will come an image on the inside. It is when that happens over a process of time that it becomes life to you. You're not trying to believe. It's not part of you. What you're seeing, which you've had, is now your reality and it dominates your experiences. That's what it's teaching. They are life unto those that find them. They are held to all their flesh. Verse 23, it says, guard your heart with all diligence. For what? Out of it. Out of it are the what? Issues. Or the governing forces of life. So let me say it again. If a man tries to curse you, and there's a superior law on the inside, the superior law will override the curse. In other words, no one has the authority and the potency to place a curse upon your life that is superior to the law in your heart. In fact, they need to get you to believe for that thing to be an overriding influence in your life. Let me say it again. If God cannot force blessings on you, the enemy cannot invoke curses successfully on you. Let me say it again. If God needs you to hear and to pay attention, because whatever God says will find room and expression in the soul of your heart, then whatever the enemy does also requires you to what? Accept and what? Believe. Now someone says, but Pastor, but negative things happen quickly to people because the environment we live in is wired negatively already. It's wired negatively already. That's where the problem is. We're quick to believe evil and slow to believe something good. Between now and the end of December, you will prosper. Okay, do you notice people were not expecting that? So the email was quiet. Let me tell you why it was quiet. Someone is in the spirit or is just saying it. Let me tell you the truth. Whether I'm in the spirit, I just said it. As long as there's power to back it up, if you believe, you will receive. In other words, people are more conditioned to hearing something negative than something good. Does God want things to work out for you between now and December? Yes. You need to ask him. I'm telling you authoritatively, yes. What do? You incline your ear. How do you incline your ear? Whether you incline or not, you're going to be hearing things that will counter that message. So you do yourself a whole lot of favor by deliberately putting your ear in a direction where it will constantly hear what will cause that prosperity to come. Because again, how does your heart function? You really don't know how. But God tells you, the mix of the word of God and the heart of man, there's an explosion that takes place. That will bring prosperity, it will bring life, it will bring increase. So, hallelujah. In fact, the Bible says that it's like a man that sows seed. He goes and he comes back. The seed should spring forth. He doesn't know how. He doesn't know how. He just knows if the word of God, I pay attention to it long enough, after a while it will become a law that is affecting all I do in my life. It becomes a law. So if I say, for instance, that, and I say it long enough, and I keep hearing myself say it, because again, I'm going to show you something. No matter what I say, and what I say, when it's backed up by the Spirit, it will have an effect upon you and upon your heart and upon your life because of the office I stand in. But beyond that, remember, your heart has a tendency to obey your voice more than any other voice. Let me say that again. Your heart has a tendency to obey your voice more than any other voice. I was sharing something with my kids this morning, and I told them that the life force in their words will override the biology of their body. The life force that is in your words will override the biology and the chemical composition of your body. It will. It will. It will. There are some things you've heard that you've been told repeatedly, and that's why you accepted them. A woman that wants to conceive, when I conceive, from the first month to the last month, I'll be fine throughout. I'll be strong throughout. I didn't say 2 days or 3 days. You didn't hear negative things for 2 or 3 days. You heard it for a long time. I hope you understand that. I'm not even saying that it's not normal or natural for those things to happen. When it comes to the way woman reacts, I'm not saying it's not natural. I'm saying that if you speak consistently long enough, it will become a law that will actually affect the biology of your body. It will. When I hear somebody says, I don't have headaches, you know, it doesn't look normal. In fact, you see, is headache normal? It's like, it's normal now. Are you under the African sun? Do you live in this climb? It's normal now. In fact, from time to time, you should have headache. Okay, headache is a bit more far-fetched. I don't have cold. How many of you have had cold this year? No reason. You know, it's normal. Now, until you come across someone who tells you, I don't get cold. You are thinking, are you living here? You don't get cold. How? You've never had a cold. No, I didn't say it didn't come. I said, I don't get one. There's a difference. I don't get colds. Okay. So, what is the person doing? Setting a law. Instead of accepting, you now begin to argue. No. We're all Africans. We're Nigerians. What do you mean by that? Your own is too much. He's setting a law. Why are you disturbing about the law? In the next 10 years, I'll be strong. In the next 20 years, I'll be healthy and sound. I will have abundance and increase on every side. I will not need to borrow. I'll be lender to nations. If you say in the next 15 years, I'll be at the top of my profession. I'll be rubbing shoulders with the great and mighty. Nothing about me is small. You are setting a law. There is enough power to make it come to pass. The question is, are you bold enough to set it and release it in your heart? Because God is ready to. Listen, how many of you know the story about Jabez? You've heard it one time or other. Okay, but what we may not have paid attention to in that story, that's 1 Chronicles chapter 4, is the fact that he seems to have come from nowhere. They were talking about genealogy, and then from nowhere. Just from nowhere. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Let me show you something, because you have to learn to deduce from that story what could have happened. Instead of being theoretical, I'm trying to be as practical as possible so I will get the principle, because my son attend to my words. Give attention to my sayings, or incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life. Something happens to you when you find it. Look at what it says. Verse 10, or verse 8, 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name what? Jabez, saying, because I bear him in sorrow. Now, here's the interesting part. He didn't ask for his name to be changed. Okay. You didn't hear that part? You didn't see my name is Ifakunle? Jason Kunle? You didn't notice that one? Okay. What is Jabez? Sorrow. What was he hearing since he was born? Sorrow. 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 That's what he was hearing. Did it affect him? Yes. Did he put up with it for a long time? Yes. So, what is recorded here happened in a particular season. He just realized this does not have to continue. And he didn't first think about the change of name. I said that in my village, everybody that bears this name, Oro something, that's a problem. I must change it. Let me put Jesu. And the problem is that the reason why I've been having bad luck, I'm not getting the job, is because it is this Ifa thing that's behind my name. That's the problem of this. Shogobi, that's the problem. You know? Then, the company you're applying to, you now get there, and the chairman's name is Ishubi. And it's chairman. So obviously, the name can't be the problem. It's the heart. In fact, the man has not paid attention to the name until the day you mentioned it. Hey, issue. What's the issue? I don't understand. I went to school. I'm a Christian. I prosper. I didn't think to change it. Because Jabez didn't ask for a change of name. He asked for a change of experience. And the experience had to do with that something entered his heart. This is obviously not God's will for me. But my mother gave me the name, but it's not God's will. Look at the prayer I prayed. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. That is a revelation. The God of Israel is one that doesn't lie. The friend of Abraham. The strength of Isaac. The fear of Jacob. That's who he called upon. The one that changes men's lives. That's who he's calling upon. That this is not your will. So when here he called upon the God of Israel, he's telling you information reached him. Revelation. This is not the will of God. But the experience continued. Now, here's the question I want to ask you. Are you telling me the day he found out is when God decided to change story? No. That's the way he knew that this wasn't meant to continue. That means no matter how well God thought about him, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thought of peace, it will remain a thought until it enters your heart. It will just remain a thought. So the way it enters, it will give you his word. Why do you think we keep receiving prophecies? So it can affect your heart. So you can process it. And when you process, life is released. What it says is what you will experience, not what is happening around you. Hallelujah. He says, guard your heart. What are you guarding? Now that the word has entered, now guard your heart with all the, for out of it. So what you do, you control what comes out by first controlling what comes in. Glory to God. You control what comes in. Let me say it again. I've been to at least 2-3 different gyms. And what is common to all of them is that they play secular music very loudly. So that when you are even leaving, you have left. The song has not left. You will become current without planning to be current. Because you will play it enough. In fact, there's a dance session at the gym. Part of their cardio workout. So you'll be hearing those songs. Now, like I said, if you're somebody who just likes the melody, you don't pay attention to words. Blessed are you. But if you are like me, that went from when I was secondary school. My friends used to ask me to write out the lyrics of song for them because they say, we are not hearing what they are saying. Me, I'm hearing. Whether it's rap or, I don't know, I'm hearing, I heard everything. How did you hear? I said, I heard everything. He said, I don't know. So I will write it for them. He's like, how do you hear? I said, I don't know, I just hear. So you know, it was good that God called me quickly. Because the way I'm hearing, I think one or two of my children have the same capacity, just hearing. So we are the ones, their mother will tell them, what did you just sing? Because it's so easy. But if you're the camera, you just hear. If you're humming the melodies, if you're mad, but when you hear the words, those words will tell you this is wrong. This is terribly wrong. The same way also, you are being programmed without your permission. But when it comes to God's word, it requires your permission. You will need to give ear. And to his saints. And as you process, life will burst forth. Now, it's so simple. You need help to miss it. And there's plenty help outside. That's where the problem is. There's plenty help outside. It's in the news. It's on Facebook. It's on Instagram. All the help you don't need is there in abundance. What is happening? Satan is seeking entrance. He knows that is how the heart of man works. He knows. But you are the last to know. God knows, Satan knows. You are the last to find out. So you are to process and look at, let me finish that part of, look at what Jabez said. He called and said, oh, that you will bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and your hand might be with me, that you will keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he what? No long story. It was simple. It was straightforward. It came from the heart. And because out of the heart comes what? The governing forces of life. That's what happened. So God was impartial. The word of God that was sent to the fathers is not partial. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. To him that seeketh, what will happen? The door shall be open. To him that you shall find. To him that knocketh, the door shall be what? Open. That is God's disposition. So one day, Jabez found. And when he found, he processed. And when he processed, something changed in the experiences. It means you will have continued that way. And like some people say, until you discover God's word, you say, it must be the will of God for this to continue. No, 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 no. The will of God is his word. He says, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. So, sayings, that means you have to consciously allow yourself to hear God's word on repeated mode. That's the only way you can enter the heart. It's not that you hear it once. Let me say it again. I'm not sure, because I don't like exaggerations. I'm not sure whether there's a particular day of the week I don't hear. I just keep playing. Somebody says why? Because the ones I'm not playing are coming. So I need to stay above them. And to stay above them, you have to be active about programming your heart for what God wants to do. And God can't do that you have been programmed. He can't. Because out of your heart comes what? The governing forces of life. That's the way it works. Glory to God. That's the way it works. Psalm 45. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. How do you incline your ear to the sayings? Look at Psalm 45. I'm going to read from verse 1. My heart is indicting a good matter. How? I speak of the things which have made touching the king. My tongue is what? The pen of a ready writer. Now remember, what is a tongue? Is a pen. Or it can be likened to a pen of a ready writer. Let me read again. My heart is indicting a good matter. The word heart is the word womb. So my womb, my production center, there are things on the inside. And the way they came about is that my tongue was used to write something on the inside that my heart is now processing. So whatever I want my heart to process, I use my tongue to what? To write it. When it says, incline your ear to my sayings, the way you incline is that you take what you've heard, you say it to yourself. You see, those quiet moments, and I think I said something, I'm trying to remember exactly when I said it. When I said, when you're down and discouraged or something negative just happens, I said, don't waste that negative energy. Take a stroll in your room, in your office, in a quiet place, and begin to speak God's word to yourself. The same energy you're about to use to sorrow, to cry in that disappointment, that is the same energy you're going to use to speak God's word, and there will be a supernatural turnaround. It never fails. Hallelujah. The challenge is this. The discouragement, when it comes, has a tendency to shut your mouth if you are not used to practicing life that way. I've been living this way since I was on campus. So many things happened on campus, I can't even go into the story. Discouragement left, right, and center. School authorities, at home, everywhere you turn. So you have to learn to live above those storms by constantly, so to speak, programming your heart for what God has said. You have to remind yourself about what God has said. Because after God has spoken, then the enemy will come and things will be suggested to you that will make it look as though whatever God said is not true. Hallelujah. So he said, incline your ear or cause yourself to hear the things God has said. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Your imagination must be filled with it. Keep them in the leaves of your heart. It is life when you find it. You will know when you find it. It won't be you consciously believing. It will be that experiences are springing up from that word that will be controlling your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I think 2 years before we got married, I was praying one morning and God showed me our first two kids. So I knew it was going to be a girl and a boy. Somebody says how? Because the girl came in to report the boy to me in the vision. The girl walked in, she was still young, and then she came to report the boy, which is what is happening now. He came to report the boy. So I said, I wasn't married. It was 2 years before I got married. So I came to, I knew that we're going to have it now. So I never consciously believed for boy. It's like, I'm going to have boy. It's okay, but I never, because I saw it. I saw it happen. Okay. So then the next thing that happened was that a word came. Again, I was just fellowship. So in the place of fellowship, you tend to hear things. Yes or no? See? And I said, your first child will come by the word. Okay, so I didn't know what that meant. I had to learn by experience. When you say your first child will come by the word, you think that your first child will come by you confessing. You have to confess. Maybe it's going to take time. No, that wasn't what it meant. Because sometimes if you hear God say things and you don't ask him, it will be looking at you. You will soon find out what I mean by it to come by the word. So, and we waited a year when we got married before we had the first child. We agreed and waited a year. So we were ready when the first child was in process. Seemingly all hell broke loose. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. The conception was turbulent, all kinds of things, all kinds of prognosis. The doctors even said, the way this is going, this condition, they can't mention all kinds of names. Very discouraging. I remember one night I had to travel to Abeokuta to go minister, and my wife was alone, and my mom-in-law came to stay with her. And then she had issues in the night. My mom did not saw the nature of what was going on. When I came, I said, Pastor, is this what you're hiding inside the house? What's going on here? She was scared. Because sometimes I will be with her, I will hold hands. I will lay hands on her tummy for 30 minutes at distress, speaking in tongues, until the trembling and the vibration will stop. I'm like, what are you doing? What is this? Then I understood when he said, your first child will come by the okay. And it sounds like a sweet word. Until you know that it means you stand your ground. That means before the challenge came, it's telling you victory is yours. Just stand. Don't cry. I don't know what happened. What did I do? I don't like them crying. That is not the time. He told you, if you stand your ground, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. So you can boldly say. The minute you start that, you know what you are saying in your mind? In your mind, God has left you. Hallelujah. I don't know if you understand. They are sacking people. Your name is on the list. I don't know what I'm going to do. This country, the way things are going, the money's not even enough. He said, they will sack me. I will never leave you, not forsake you. So when the letter came, I will never leave you, not forsake you. Your name is on the list. I will never leave you, not forsake you. You are not informing God. He already knows. What he wants to know is, do you believe I will never leave you, not forsake you? Do you believe I'm not surprised? Do you believe there's a way where they say there's no way? Don't read the stories of the patriarchs as a storybook. Read as God giving you a parable. When he says it's not possible, there's a God of possibilities. There's a God of possibilities. For me personally, I still believe the greatest test Moses had after you were with them in Egypt, where they were eating garlic and leek and onions. At least they were eating something. Now you're carrying them and they are complaining every step of the way. And God said, I will take them to the promised land. And the promised land stopped at the Red Sea. Is this promised land? And then you look behind you, armies coming. Look at the sea. You look at Moses. Okay. So there were no graves in Egypt. That's why you brought us here. You want to make it a quick barrier. That's why you brought us here. Even Moses was like, I think you can hear what they are saying. What do we do from now onwards? Because there was no way in the natural sense. But the one who said, I will take you to a land, already knew there will be a Red Sea. He already knew your name will come upon sometime the wrong. He is not surprised. You are the one who is what? Surprised. So he says, attend to my words. There's still a wisdom the natural eyes can't see. A lady was dismissed from work, a Christian. And we don't like hearing stories like that. She was dismissed from work. You know, she first cried after she woke up and began to confess God's word. This is not the kind of year God promised. This is not what God said. She began to praise God and everything. So she decided to put the skills she had to work. 6 months after, she had enough finances to start her company. She floated it. The first job she got was from a neighboring company to the previous one she was working with. And the first income she had was like 2 years' salary. She went back to her boss in the previous company. I want to thank you for sacking me. You know, before she was cursing, how could they do this? They are passionate. She went, I want to thank you, sir, for sacking me. And when she went to meet the boss, that one still gave her another contract. Now, what were you doing? You were seeing God as forsaking me. And God is saying, this is me being with you at a strong and mighty one. Your problem is what you cannot see. and the way your eyes are focused. It says if you incline your ears, there's a wisdom that will spring out of the situation that will be beyond what you ever planned or bargained for. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So the challenge we have is the minute your heart can be programmed to see every appearance of failure as an entrance into another level of victory, your heart is programmed to produce life at all times. Glory to God. It is. God is not the variable. The heart of man, that's where the variable is. So you are the one that will do something to your heart until your heart can't see any other thing. It says, my tongue is become the pen of what? A ready writer. A man was in an accident, a terrible accident. And it was in such a critical condition, the doctors were afraid to move him. If they move him anyhow, he could just die. The last thread of life would just go. They were afraid. But the doctor among them was a Christian. The man could barely speak. So they were deliberating, what do we do? The ambulance is here. We can't leave him here. If we move him, he may die. At least he's still alive. So this doctor that was Christian moved close to the man and noticed he was whispering something. When he put his ear, he heard, move me, I'm not going to die now. The man said, move him, he won't die. He will survive the trip. Why? Out of the heart comes what? The governing forces of life. Where will you be in the next 10 years? How will the next 3 months be? Are you going to prosper? Are you going to sink or go down? Are you going to ride on the top? Are you going to climb up and get higher? Are you going to experience abundance and increase? Will December be your best month this year? Will it be? Are you bold enough to say it? Are you bold enough to lay hold on God's provision and abundance? Are you bold enough? That's the question. It doesn't cost you anything to say. It will only cost you to keep saying when everything around you doesn't look like it. What are you doing? You are programming your heart. Everywhere I look, increase is coming. Abundance is coming. The next 3 months will be my best months of this year. I will experience increase on all sides. No sickness or disease will come near me. No evil will befall me. No plague will come near my dwelling place. I used to speak about months before. I speak about months still. But I found myself recently speaking about the next 10 years, the next 20, the next 30 years. How about seeing the next 10 years you'll be at the top of your profession? You'll be in the best possible place. How about saying that to yourself? Because the ability of God is sufficient to get it done. Whatever you plant in your heart is what you are going to see. Now, the degree to which you have seen so far is the degree to which you've spoken out of what you have heard or processed on the inside. That's how much you have seen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I picture the marriage stress-free. The marriage where we're not chasing each other with knife and cutlass. I didn't see that kind of home where you break bottle today. Where it is slap. No. I've seen situations where, in fact, I think one of our members told me one time that because I just saw a man that every time you see the man and if he's talking to you now, your wife starts coming. He starts saying that, that's my wife. And you see, she's fine. It's very beautiful. And he looked like, what's going on? Why is he always saying that? And the man told me, he has to say it. See, because when they are at home, if your wife gets angry, it's two hands he used to slap him. The two hands. The man I'm talking about is a minister. But he's married. He has a marriage problem. But he can't come out and say it. So he does everything possible to pacify. Now, can that situation change? Yes. How can it change? You have to now the labor now is you have to learn to look beyond what you are seeing. And start speaking. But you know it's better to speak before you enter. Because what you are speaking will move some people away from you. I hope you understand. Your heart will making choices based on your confession. That's what happens. So if you're already in it, it's still the incorruptible seed of God's word. I've seen women who spoke their husbands to salvation. You are a good man. You are a faithful man. You are a diligent man. You are not lazy. You are a gentle man. For those who are harsh. You just, behind the scene, not the one that comforting him. Is how your mates are. It be getting worse. They spoke their husbands until the life and nature of Christ began to come out. I don't know if I should say this on camera. But I will say it. The lady came. Pastor, my husband drinks. I said, okay. So I've done everything I know how to do. I've lamented, I've complained. I said, the worst thing you can do with a man that drinks is to nank. I said, it just reinforces. I said, let me tell you this one thing about men. If he wants to change, the fact that he has seen it, he won't change. Because he doesn't want to change because he said so. He wants to change and take credit. That is because I want to be like it. I hope you understand that about men. So nagging does not change any man. You just like, I will go and drink. I said, does he go out? He said he goes out to go and drink. I said, next week. He said, Pastor. I said, buy him the drink, put it in the fridge. Eh? I said, yes. It's not beer. Buy it, put it there. When he's not expecting evening, bring that one, serve him. The minute you stop complaining, the first thing I'm wondering, this woman is up to something. Why is she serving me the beer? What's going on here? And as you are serving the beer, on that person, you don't like this kind of beer. You don't like alcohol. You are a teetotaler. Nothing in you craves for alcohol. And go and serve. Don't ask him again. Why are you just keep doing that? One day you bring it, I don't want. Let the change take place in the heart, not outside. Once the change takes place in the heart, that's all. You need to see the things you are trying to force, they take spiritual forces to effect the change. It's not by power of my mind, but by my spirit, said the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, so there are some things you want to effect in your partner that it will take the word of God, and don't speak those words in front of them. You are not a crossing woman. You are not in Jesus' name, you are not caressing. You are not a nagging wife. And then you are not a dirty woman. You are clean. You are very tidy. You are in front of her, you are starting quarrel. May they not slap you before the conversation is over. What do you do behind the scenes in the name of the Lord Jesus? Why? There's a connection. The two of you are meant to be one. There's a connection. My husband is a gentleman. He's peaceful. He's peaceable. Goodness is on his inside. He's tender hearted. He's kind. Is considerate. What you want to see is what you say. There's no point in saying what you have been seeing. It doesn't change anybody. It only reinforces what you have been seeing. How many of you are sometimes saying? So what you want to see is what you should be saying. Am I saying your words have absolute authority over your partner? No. But your words have an effect that God will honor because the two of you are one. Hallelujah. It's like saying, does my prayer have an effect on my partner? Of course it does. It does. Because the image of what you want to see, which is what God wants to see, once the two of you are in agreement, when you speak those words over your partner, it is honored by God. Hallelujah. Because many times, when it comes to taste and appetite, it can be difficult in the natural. But the power of God can change anything. Glory to God. The power of God can change anything. It can. It can. I told us about the testimony of Wigu's word that gave testimony about the particular woman who came to the meeting, healing meeting, and asked for an handkerchief and said, my husband gets drunk, falls into the gutter, comes home at night, beats me up. So they take this handkerchief, put it under his pillow. Don't say anything to him. The man came home drunk one night, slept on the pillow. Something from the handkerchief entered into him. He woke up the next morning, the appetite for drinking was gone. It takes the power of God, hallelujah, to change men. Now, if you want to change in any area, also the same thing. I shared those testimony about the person that I mentioned was actually a minister that had a problem with smoking. And each time he would smoke, he would confess God's word until the word took the cigarette from his mouth. And the taste for cigarette died. The same thing will work concerning any negative habit. The same principle will work. Any negative habit. If you sleep too much, use God's word to stay awake. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. If you talk too much, use God's word to control yourself. Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18, verse 20. Glory to God. A man's belly, that's the word womb, shall be satisfied with the what? The product of his lips. So, your womb conceives from the mouth, from what you say with your lips. Let me say, a man's belly, that's the word womb. If you go and check the Hebrew, it's the word womb. So, your womb of your heart will conceive the words of your lips. So, he says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with food of him. With the increase of his lips shall he be what? Field, or he will have experiences in line with what he has been saying. I didn't say what you said once. I said what you said until it became a law. Until it became a law. So you can set a law that you will never be poor. You can set a law that you'll always be fruitful. You can set a law about your body. You can set a law. I will not be sick. I will abide. You can. After a while, the word of God will win over every argument on the inside. Even if you have genetic issues, it will win over it. I've tried it, and I've seen that God's word as a life force has mastery over the biology of men's bodies and over the chemical compositions of men. It has. But the question is, will you stay with it long enough for the results to come forth? That's where the labor is. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart. That means constantly hear. Constantly hear. And that's why, so that you can have an effective system. You know, Pastor Tulu is always telling us, what are you using your phone for? If it's for music alone, you're not helping your life or your future. If you're going to set things in your next 10 years, for instance, now, even in the next 1 year, what do you want to see? Do you want to see changes? Tremendous changes. Do you want to see an upsurge when it comes to work, career, family? Do you want to see? You have to program God's word now if you're going to see that kind of increase. Hallelujah. That's the way you do it. Now, so they are life unto those that find them and want help to all their. So they are life in any area which you have understood or you found. It's now up to you. You process concerning your children. You start saying things to them now that you want to see later on. You start saying now. Concerning relationship, you start saying things now about your home. Things you want to see now. You start saying those things now as a law. This is how it's going to be in my home, in my family, with my children. You start saying those things now. Then once it's a law, you start seeing those things play out supernaturally. Glory to God. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. The heart responds to the words of our lips. All I need to do is I choose the words that I put on my lips on a consistent basis. And let me say it again. The words that somebody speaks to you will have no effect upon your heart until you are the establishing witness. The words that someone says over your life will have no effect until you become the establishing witness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Until you are the establishing witness. That means you agreed with what they said. Somebody called you a failure. You are not a failure yet. When you come to Pastor Tolu, can you imagine? Sister Abigail called me a failure. How can she do that? You are establishing it. Why are you complaining? Because you think she's right. I practice these things in everyday life. How do conductors in Lagos talk to people? Very rudely, isn't it? Very harshly. Are you stupid is a question. I am not stupid, so I won't answer. I don't have to answer. You don't get into a battle of words with people like that. It will become messy. Have you noticed that? But when you keep quiet, what happens to them? They also keep quiet. I don't know how people get angry over, are you stupid? It's a question. Let the person who is stupid answer. I am not stupid. You know, I came down from your car. And you don't have the place you are going. You know, you think that the person who is not answering, you think the person is a fool. No, the person is wise. You spoke in the morning, how your day is going to be. Somebody wants to hijack your day by saying things like that. And you are now about to respond. You want to come down from the car. I don't understand. Somebody who has no influence over your life. Why should the person's words matter so much to you? Think about it. This is how Satan sets traps here and there for you. So you have to be schooled and disciplined enough not to respond to everything that you hear. Because you are processing something. Your heart must be guarded against every negative seed. You already have God's word as a seed, isn't it? Now keep processing. When they are saying school fees, the way school fees is coming now, we will not be able to pay. You will be able to pay. If it's a million, you will pay. You will have more than enough. Abundance will be yours. Increase will come to the work of your hands. You will prosper. God will supply all your needs. That is what you are meant to say. You are not meant to speak like somebody who doesn't have God with you as a present help in a time of need. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And let me say this. When you want to process things like this in the face of emergencies and you have not been putting the word there before, it becomes an uphill task. That's where the problem is. It becomes an uphill task. It now looks as though the word is not going to. The word is working. You started out late. You cannot want to pay rent this week now. You are confessing today. You know it's not confession you need. You need a miracle. No, I'm just... Don't you know it's a miracle you need? It's a miracle. Just come for counsel. We will tell you what to do next. Because you want to pay 2 days time. I'm going to confess God's word till tomorrow morning. It depends on the amount. That can handle. No, it's true. It's true. The heart of man is so potent. Listen carefully. That if they put you in a place that your heart is yet to see and acclimatize to, you'll be uncomfortable. Hallelujah. You know, I like giving the illustration because I heard it from a minister before somebody else told me it also happened also. He said, the first time you are traveling first class, you don't know how they behave there. You don't know how the seat belt everything is. You are coming there for the first time. You've always been in the economy. This is a new space. Ask the person closest to you, please, how they do this. Don't try to, because only that person will know you've not been there before. But when you try on your own, everybody will now know they are the stranger in our midst, because the way things operate there is different. And it should be obvious, because there are some things you are entitled to. You are not aware, so you may be hungry in first class. You are afraid to ask because you don't know that the things that belong to you in that class. Because you're, so if somebody paid for you, but your heart has not grown to that level, I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. You will not be comfortable, even though it's the best, it's most comfortable playing the plane. The same thing when it comes to increase. There are some men, when you stand before them, you will be shaky because your heart is yet to see you there. That's where the problem is. How much does it take to shake your faith? For the reason, it's 2 million. Your faith is gone. Some people is 10 million. Some people, no, where they've got into in their interactions now, it will take like 1 billion. What they say that, Pastor, I may be busy these days, so I'll be out for what night service? Because that money is not pushing you. No, because money has a potent effect on men. If, as you're sitting this morning, as you're sitting now, depending on your level now, if 10 million enters your account now, as you're in church now, your smile will change. You'll be very jovial. You'll be whistling and we're not playing keyboard. You people are forgetting the broadcast to church. They just be walking on the road and say, oh, I even broadcast to church. There's a motivation. It's raining, you are not feeling the rain. You are very okay. I've seen people, they jog, they were jogging. So I just feel like exercising. It's money. 20 million just said that their accounts. He hasn't seen 1 million before. He saw the money is checking again in case they will just remove it. He checked. He waited till night time. He woke up the next morning. It's still there. It's my money. It's my money. If there's this motivation, then suddenly you will not be hungry. And when you don't have money, you are hungry. You have not noticed it. Then when you have money, there's this hunger just feel like, let us even eat. What do you like to eat? I'm not really, anything is okay. Give me Coke. You're not hungry. That means even your body is reacting to the thought. Now, here's the interesting part. You have not seen the money physically. You believe the alert you saw on your phone. That means it's the image of the possibility that's affecting your behavior. Let the image of God's word affect your conduct. See yourself with it as a possessor. See yourself with the reality of it. I'm protected. I'm fortified. In my journeys, no evil. I see angels, mighty ones protecting me. I see every need supernaturally met. You are planning to get married. I see a glorious wedding. Every need supplied. Everything in place. That is, if God has said it, that's the alert in your account. Let that be the alert in your account that is causing your actions and your speech to line up with what He has said. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you understand this morning? Lift your hands this morning and thank Him. Thank Him for His mercy. Thank Him for His goodness. Thank Him for His grace. Thank Him for light and understanding and clarity. Thank Him for the seasons that we're in and the things we're going to experience this season. These next 3 months, glory to God will be our confession. Glory to God will be our song. Glory to God will be our constant worship. He has done great things, marvelous things without number. With terrible things in righteousness, He will answer us. He will answer us. He will answer us. In your household, shouts of rejoicing, testimonies of good, we keep unfolding. You will know no weakness. You will know no sickness. Only increase is permitted to be your experience. Yes, the year is about to come to an end, but your testimony is not coming to an end. New testimonies are springing forth on your behalf in the name of Jesus. You will hear good news this week. This new month will signal a new beginning with respect to God's mercy, God's grace, and God's goodness in your life. Oh, your barns and coffers will be full. They will be full. You'll have enough left over to give and to bless others. You will not lack any good thing in the name of Jesus. Men will look in your direction and favor you and do you good. Men will remember your name in the right places. You'll be called for by the right individuals. God's influence will bring things in your favor in the name of Jesus. If you have lost anything, this will be a season of supernatural restoration and supernatural recovery in the name of Jesus. You are going to end this year laughing and rejoicing and shouting and praising and praising and praising all your projects and things you have set out to do. You will see the finger of God tangibly evident. There is no fear here. 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 All you set out to do, you will accomplish. You will prosper in all you set out to do. Without fail, in the name of Jesus. God's miracle working power is at work in and through you. And will meet you at every point of need. We give you praise, Father. We exalt you. Thank you for a new season. Oh, we bless your name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. God bless you.